All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Bird Park Church. How's everyone doing this beautiful Sunday? We doing all right? Anybody catch any golf balls yet? Are we still okay here? All right, we're okay. Hey, welcome, guys. It's great to see you. How's everyone doing today? We feel a little quiet. Everyone okay? We okay? We having a good day so far? What a beautiful weekend to be on Catalina, am I right? Perfect day here at church. Hey, if you haven't been here before, welcome. We'd love to have you join us singing, and you can do so by scanning the QR codes on some of the tables there. If you have a dumb phone, you can just sing Amazing Grace on repeat. Okay, that works too. All right, but yeah, check out the QR codes there. Also opportunities to give and support our church there as well. And we got just a lot of kind of transition this week. We have a few women away in Colorado coming back today. They've been gone for the last week enjoying a wonderful time with some of the Ransom Heart Ministry at a beautiful camp out there. And some of our men are leaving this week to Florida for the same thing. Not as beautiful as Colorado maybe, but I don't know. Florida's great. We love Florida. And so pray for them. Speaking of which, I have been a single dad for like the last week. Do we have any single parents in the room today? God bless you guys, okay? Like, I cannot imagine. It has been tough. Sick baby, having to deal with all that, it is tough, I will admit. And so I'm looking forward to have Janae back. As the band comes up, you know, there were moments during this week where I was like, man, I need something. I need something to sustain me here. And during some of the challenges of you got like a screaming baby or like maybe your favorite football team just lost, you know, stuff like that. The really hard stuff, right? I found some encouragement here in what we're going to be singing today. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Even this verse here, have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is coming. Amen. I hope you find that today as we worship. Jesus is here. He's here today. I don't know if you feel him or not, but he's here. And thank you for being here. And let's stand and worship, all right? I don't know if we got time yet. John, are we live or anything? We're having some trouble. You guys are here, so we're live, all right? And that's all that matters. So, also, while we're waiting, have you guys been counting 76 days till Christmas? Okay. Only 76. That's like, it's like 2 months or something. All right. Janie Sue over here, she's got some boxes for Operation Christmas Child. You guys have been hearing it, and we love your support. I don't know if you guys have heard of this awesome little ministry. You pack a shoebox with goodies, and it gets sent all over the world. We're doing that right here. So grab a box on your way out, too.
And I've already started watching Christmas movies. Yay for Hallmark.
Well, good morning. Sorry about that delay. I always have challenges when I'm asked to do the technical parts of the service. But our secretary is gone at that conference. And so, but hey, if it works, welcome to you live with us online as well. Let's worship this morning as we turn our attention to the Lord in this place. Let's open our hearts to him.
Rejoice, we have been rescued, forgiven and pulled from the grave. God, in pure adoration, we join in the the waters of life. God, your spirit in motion, with love and devotion we cry. We won't hold back praises from our hearts. There's nothing that can silence our love. Sing out, rejoice, we're lifting up one voice. There's nothing that can silence our love. No, there is nothing that can silence our love. You turn our morning to dance.
Who is this King of glory that pursues me with love and holds me with the cheering of his softly spoken words? Conscience, oh, a reminder of forgiveness that I need. Who is this King of glory who offers it to me? Who is this King of angels, the Blessed Prince of Peace, revealing things of heaven and of its mystery? Spirit's ever longing of his grace in which to stand. Who is this King of glory, Son of God and Son of Man? His name is Jesus, precious. Who is this King of glory, but with strength and majesty and wisdom beyond measure, and the gracious King of kings, Lord of earth and heaven, the Creator of all. The King of glory, he's everything to me. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty. Lord Almighty,
King of my heart, King of glory. His name is Jesus, precious Jesus, Lord Almighty, King of my.
God's people said,
Amen.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Jonathan and the band. We appreciate it. Bringing us to the throne of his grace and glory in appropriate fashion, Sunday after Sunday. Good morning and welcome to here. Wherever you are, welcome to here, the Bird Park on Catalina Island, especially you who are online, and we hope you are indeed online now, that there's some reception going on, that you can be here fully with us as we are fully together. How many of you, be honest, ran the marathon yesterday? Now that's what I call honesty. How many ran the 6K? 10K? How many ran yesterday? Yay! Did you run in a race, or did you just go for your regular daily run? How many walked your dog yesterday? Good, good. See, we got people that are out there exercising. That's for sure. How many did some form of exercise yesterday? Great. Day before? Because that's, you know, could be Saturday, a day of rest. It could be. Exercise is important. Paul tells Timothy, exercise is important. It's limited in its importance, but he says it's important. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, for physical training is of some value. It is of some value. For those of you who are doubting it this weekend, it is of some value, but I'm glad you're here because godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, during the fall, we have a tendency, and we haven't actually for a while, but we have a tendency of kind of focusing on, because all the visitors are gone and the body of Christ is coming back, and slowly but surely, and they're kind of wounded and need some healing. And so it's a good time for doing some building up of the body of Christ. But that analogy of building up the body can only go so far. As far as building the body itself, the body of Christ, the many who are one. And not having us focus too much on our one being the body. For those who enjoy physical exercise and training, this particular verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, endorses activity. But Paul tells Timothy, and he tells us, the value of such physical training is not as great. It's not as helpful as training in godliness, as spiritual training. Training in godliness, let's just identify it with spiritual training as opposed to physical training. Physical training is helpful in the fallen world, especially during this church age, and it is for two reasons. The physical body can become a great hindrance if it's failing, if it doesn't allow you to live much of a life that allows then spiritual training to go on, right? Allows any kind of maturity towards living a life for God. And some people, they don't have a choice. And some people that don't have a choice, it's amazing how quickly they can mature spiritually in such a short amount of time. Second reason, the biblical principle of stewardship requires that we manage what God has given to us, beginning at the most basic level. Did he give us these bodies? Yes, he did. He gave us these bodies. He gave us our very selves. And he continues to restore these bodies, to heal them when they need healing, to allow them to live by giving them breath, by giving them food, by giving them life itself. However, those who are crippled by some ailment or some disease are joyful at the truth that everyone who goes to be with Jesus Christ for eternity will have a new, glorified, physical, kind of physical, spiritual body, it seems, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's one of those things that we can't Well, I can wait to find out. Anyway, aside from the spiritual rewards gained from our stewardship of the body in this life, there is and will be no direct impact of our physical training on the next life. There'll be kind of a quasi-impact. If you're good at discipline here, well, chances are it won't hurt as much when you get to heaven, as far as obedience is concerned. He says, Paul does, but godliness has value for all things. All things. Does that include things here on earth as we live now in this physical existence, in this physical body? Rhetorical question. He has previously said for Timothy to train in godliness, for this kind of training will directly impact the quality of our eternal existence, beginning now. Yes, here, in our temporal time, on earth. The question is, how does one train for godliness? The Bible teaches us to abide in Christ, according to John 15, verse 4, which actually takes practice doing, doesn't it? And we're practicing it and continuing to grow in that understanding daily. It takes a lot of practice. As long as we're in our flesh in this fallen world, we are going to be practicing that and hopefully getting better and better at it, right? Practice is training. Training requires the discipline, the intention, the persistence to make it habit. We can also train to live by and exhibit spiritual fruit, Paul tells us, and he tells those in Galatia. In order to do that, we must first abide. Our fruit will be self-generated and fake if we don't abide on the branch, right? And who is the branch? Jesus Christ. If we don't abide in Christ, then we'll produce fake fruit. And fake fruit is very easy to identify, especially in this world, especially in this age. It's becoming more and more or easier and easier to identify. But as we abide, we spend time practicing patience, gentleness, kindness, love, self-control, and the rest in Galatians 3 and 5. Another way to train is to practice and grow in the spiritual disciplines, prayer, scripture reading and meditation, solitude, silence, worship, activities of that nature. There was plenty of that going on this weekend, wasn't there? Paul essentially tells us that men and women of God should train physically, yes, but should subordinate such training to our training in righteousness and godliness. The goal being to cultivate our relationship with God, with His Son, and with His Holy Spirit. Let's break it down even more, this simple little verse. Starts out with for. For is a preposition. What does it generally do? It's just like therefore. It means there's something before that we need to understand to keep this in the context that it needs to be kept in. Before, in 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul tells us we need to we need to stop living by listening to myths, and he says wives' tales, by listening to false teaching, essentially, is what he's saying. You have to stop that, avoid that purposefully. And then he says, rather, train yourself to be godly. That's the end of verse 7. For physical training is of some value, he says, beginning of verse 8. True, Christianity is not a disembodied religion, though some have attempted to see it as such. We will have some kind of body for eternity. In this life, the body and spirit are very well connected, so that the health of one does indeed have an impact on the other, or it should be connected. And we should concentrate on that connection. Eating healthy foods, exercising, getting proper sleep will help a lot in preparing us for godliness and even will be a means of character training as it develops self-discipline for us. Amen? But he says, but godliness has value for all things. To be godly is to be like God. We train for this by looking to God, by practicing His presence, His ways. We seek His kingdom. We seek His righteousness, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Godliness holds promise for both the present life, our life, this world, before the second coming, will be greatly impacted by our level of godliness. But it also holds promise for, Paul says, the life to come. The rich rewards of the next life are a direct result of the way we live life in this age. We can rest assured, beloved, wherever training we undertake in godliness will not be regretted at the judgment. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, which is life and health to our souls. And we trust your promise that you are working behind the scenes for our good. Yes, in this temporal, physical world as well, of course, spiritually speaking. And like the prophet Isaiah, Lord, we will hide your word in our hearts, knowing that it will be well with us because you are good, you are faithful. And we thank you, Father, for Armando Enrique, how your Holy Spirit has worked your word into his heart this morning, just for us this morning. And as part of your great plan, it's a plan that includes you loving us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. Thank you, God. Thanks be to God. And all God's people said, amen.
We're going to continue on with some worship together as we prepare for Enrique also sharing with us this morning. Thank you, Ron, so much for that. So good.
Ceiling, and I thought, oh, why am I singing this song? I don't like this song. And Lord, when I came to know you and I realized your sweet love for me, not because of anything I did, but just because you made me and you've called me and you were patient with me, you wooed me. Lord, you are a beautiful one in my soul. Lord, I'm told I'm passionate about a lot of things, but you are the thing I'm most passionate about. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we're learning about what it means to practice and what does our commitments and what do we spend our time on. So, Lord, I pray you would just anoint my husband in a special way that what he speaks, Lord, would just penetrate our hearts and would change us. Because, Lord, we're not happy with where we are. I'd love to grow closer to you, Lord, to understand your word better, to hear your voice better. I pray that you would ignite our hearts with passion for you and a desire to be more like Christ. And I thank you for your spirit here with us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move in our hearts and soften us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Before I normally do the message in Spanish and English, I just am looking around. Do we have any Spanish speakers? ¿Tenemos algunas personas que solamente hablan en español? Okay, perfecto. Nomás quería asegurar que teníamos alguien aquí. So I will go ahead and continue Spanish and English. In spectator sports, as we were talking about bodybuilding, in spectator sports, the athletes get all the exercise and the spectators get all the rest. Just last night, we were watching a football game. The best team in college football, the best team in college football right now, hadn't lost in 19 games straight. And they lost their first one last night. And I, who love the underdogs, was so excited about this thing, right? If any of you are Alabama fans, I'm sorry about this. Yeah. Ayer en la noche estaba viendo un juego de fútbol americano que el mejor equipo en, no han perdido 19 juegos. Perdieron ayer por la primera vez. Y estaba bien agradecido porque ganaron el otro equipo, ¿verdad? Bien contento. And so, but the thing was, as after the game was over, all these spectators, they had 106,000 people. And most of them poured onto the field. It was crazy. You couldn't even see the grass. Just multiples of people. They were so excited to be able to beat this incredible team. And they took a wide angle shot, and you just saw all these people. And as I was looking at the screen, the thought came to me as on the message I was going to share this morning. All these people that were in the stands cheering on their people were now on the field. And I felt like God gave me a picture of what the church should be like. You see, we're not called to just be in the stands and watch a few of us play on the field. But each one of us is called to go on the field. To be in such great numbers that you won't even be able to see the field because we're all there. Cuando estaba viendo el juego y después que ganaron, se llenó el estadio, es más bien donde juegan, todos los espectadores estaban, se bajaron y estaban en el field porque estaban celebrando que ganaron. Y el Señor me enseñó me dio un mensaje que todos los que estaban en el estadio viendo el juego, todos deben de estar en el juego, porque eso es el cristianismo. Todos tenemos algo que, un parte que jugar en esta vida. Bud Wilkinson, he was the head coach of University of Oklahoma years ago, and he served in the 60s with John F. Kennedy, and as the President's Council of Physical Fitness. And during this time, he said, "There are 22 young men on the field badly in need of rest and 40,000 people in the stands badly in need of exercise." En los deportes de espectadores, los atletas hacen todo el ejercicio y los espectadores obtienen el reposo. Bud Wilkinson era entrenador en jefe de fútbol americano en una universidad de Oklahoma. Dijo, 22 jóvenes en el campo con mucha necesidad de descanso y 40,000 personas en el estadio con una gran necesidad de ejercicio. You see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. El cristianismo no es un deporte de espectadores. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "What should you do, the brethren, Brothers and sisters, when you come together, each person has a vital role because each has gifts. One person might have a song, another a lesson to teach, still another a revelation from God. One person might speak in an unknown language, another will offer the interpretation. But all of this should be done to strengthen the life and faith of the community. This is written in The Voice. I absolutely love this interpretation. En Corintios 14, 26 dice, ahora bien, mis hermanos, hagamos un resumen. Cuando se reúnan, uno de ustedes cantará, otro enseñará, otro cantará alguna revelación especial que Dios le ha dado, otro hablará en lenguas y otro interpretará lo que se dice. Pero cada cosa que se haga debe fortalecer a cada uno de ustedes. Me encanta esta escritura porque eso nos dice que todos tenemos que entrar en el juego, ¿verdad? In Timothy 4:8, as Pastor Ron shared earlier, for physical training is of some value, and there is. It is useful. But godliness is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and for the life which is to come. En Timoteo 4:8 dice, está bien de que ejercites físicamente, pero es mucho mejor que te ejercites para vivir piadosamente, ya que esto es útil para todo. Te ayudará en esta vida y también en la venidera. For physical training, he said, is of some value. That is telling us that bodily exercise benefits us during this life. But godly exercise is profitable now and for eternity. Para el entrenamiento físico es de algún valor, dice. Esto nos dice que el ejercicio corporal nos beneficia durante esta vida. Pero el ejercicio piadoso es beneficioso ahora y por la eternidad. That word, physical training, in the Greek is gymnasia, which is where we get the word gymnasium. It means athletic training or gymnastics. And on this view, Paul uses it as an illustration from the physical realm to compare the benefit of being disciplined toward godliness. La palabra entrenamiento físico, la palabra en griego es gimnasia, donde tenemos esa palabra gimnasia, ¿verdad? Significa entrenamiento atlético. Lo usa para, como una ilustración del reino físico para comparar el beneficio de ser disciplinado hacia la piedad. So the benefits of physical exercise, we know that they are there. But there are also others, the spiritual exercise. And we're going to kind of do a little comparison. The physical exercise help build muscle and stronger bones. I looked it up on Healthline. If you ever loved it, want to go on a site, it's incredible. It gives you a lot of great detail. And they give you the scientific data that's behind it. And so I typed it in and I looked at Healthline and it said, physical exercise helps build muscle and stronger bones. But then now from the scripture, spiritual exercise develops and transforms your character to be more Christ-like. El ejercicio física ayuda a construir músculo y huesos más fuertes. El ejercicio espiritual desarrolla y transforma tu carácter para ser más semejante a Cristo. Physical exercise number two can help you sleep better and feel more energized during the day. Spiritual exercise helps you find rest for your soul and empowers you for service. El ejercicio físico puede ayudarte a dormir mejor y sentirte con más energía durante el día. Pero el ejercicio espiritual te ayuda a encontrar descanso para tu alma y te capacita para el servicio. The third thing in the Healthline says is physical exercise improves blood flow to the brain and helps brain health and memory. I need that desperately. But spiritual exercise renews the mind and imparts wisdom and revelation. El ejercicio físico mejora el flujo sanguíneo al cerebro y ayuda a la salud cerebral y la memoria. El ejercicio espiritual renueva la mente y imparte sabiduría y revelación. And the fourth thing is that physical exercise improves your mood and reduces feelings of anxiety and depression. You have all these great chemicals going on in the brain that just makes things better. But spiritual exercise helps you joyfully live at peace with faith, hope, and love. El ejercicio físico mejora tu estado de ánimo y reduce los sentimientos de ansiedad y depresión. El ejercicio espiritual te ayuda a vivir gozosamente, en paz, con fe, esperanza y amor. What Paul says, but there is one limitation to remember. The physical benefit is only temporary, as he said, as Pastor Ron shared earlier. Only while you live in your body. So that is the benefit. As we live here, it is of benefit. You don't take it with you when you pass from this life to the next. Hay una limitación para recordarnos. El beneficio físico es temporal. Solo mientras vives en tu cuerpo. No lo llevas contigo cuando pases de esta vida a la otra. So now we're going to look at the benefits of spiritual exercise. Ahora vamos a ver a los beneficios del ejercicio espiritual. Training for godliness is much better promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Pero es mucho mejor que te ejercites para vivir piadosamente, ya que esto es útil para todo. Te ayudará en esta vida y también en la venidera, como dijo antes. So the question is, if physical exercise is good for the duration of our physical lives, what can we do to exercise our spiritual lives? Richard Foster wrote a book years ago called The Celebration of Discipline. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. He put together a list of spiritual disciplines. I'm just going to read a few of them. But they're also tied into Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. If you get a chance, read that scripture. And look at what God was doing in the beginning stage of the church. And look at the principles that they were living by. Así que la pregunta es si el ejercicio físico es bueno durante toda nuestra vida física. ¿Qué podemos hacer para ejercitar nuestra vida espiritual? Richard Foster, en su libro Celebración de Disciplina, armó una lista de disciplinas espirituales. Las siguientes serían algunas de nuestras rutinas de ejercicio espiritual. Se encuentra en Hechos 2:24-42. So one of the disciplines, it's studying the scriptures. Studying the scriptures grows our faith, increases our knowledge of God, gives us wisdom and understanding, equips us to share our faith and invest in others. It brings strength and guidance for life. It gives you a biblical grid. So whatever you hear, you're able to discern it with the biblical grid, because now at that point you will have a worldview that is based on the scripture, which is so necessary, especially in today's world. Uno de los principios es estudiar las escrituras. Hace crecer nuestra fe. Aumenta nuestro conocimiento de Dios. Y nos da sabiduría y entendimiento. Nos equipa para compartir nuestra fe a invertir en los demás. Y trae fortaleza y guía para la vida. The second thing that he mentioned was, one of the other things he mentioned was prayer. Prayer deepens our faith in God. It releases anxieties. It connects us with others. It brings us toward forgiveness. It helps us discern and accept God's will. And it gives us wisdom. El oración profundiza la fe de una persona en Dios. Libera la ansiedad. Nos conecta con los demás. Nos lleva hacia el perdón. Nos ayuda a discernir y aceptar la voluntad de Dios. Nos da sabiduría. Another thing it does is it gives us fellowship. He encourages us to have fellowship. Because first, fellowship stirs up love. It stirs up gifts. It gives us a picture of God. It makes us stronger. It provides encouragement. And it reminds us that we're not alone. And it helps us grow. El compañerismo despierta el amor. Los dones nos da una imagen de Dios, nos hace más fuertes, nos da aliento, nos recuerda que no estamos solos y nos ayuda a crecer. And the fourth thing is to serve others. Helps others. It creates a sense of belonging. It gives you a sense of purpose. It helps keep things in perspective. It can help you live longer, provide spiritual renewal. A servir a los demás, ayuda a los demás. Crea un sentido de pertenencia. Te da un sentido de propósito. Ayuda a mantener las cosas en perspectiva. Puede ayudarte a vivir más tiempo. Y proporciona renovación espiritual. So how do we get out of the stands? How do we get out of the stands and into the game? Entonces, ¿cómo salimos de las gradas y entramos en el juego? There are some things that we need to do to participate. Hay cosas que hacer para participar. The first one is you need to dedicate yourself to training. You have to make a decision. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to get into the game. I'm not going to sit in the stands. It's a great game. I love it. But I'm going to get in. I want to participate. I want to be a part of this. I want to see what my purpose is. Why am I here? Why did I go through all this? What's the point? When you enter into the game, those things start to come together. You start to understand that all that you've gone through had a meaning and a purpose, and God can use everything. He works all things together for good, right? Scripture says. So you need to dedicate yourself to training. Corinthians 9:24-26, he says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? And he says, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. So every step has meaning. Everything you do for others and for yourself, for your eternity, has meaning. It means something. Nothing is wasted. Tenemos que dedicarnos a la formación. Dicen Corintios, ¿no se dan cuenta de que una carrera todos corren, pero solo una persona se lleva el premio? Así que corren para ganar. Todos los atletas se entrenan con disciplina. Lo hacen para ganar un premio que se desvanecerá, pero nosotros lo hacemos por un premio eterno. Por eso corro cada paso con propósito. Cada paso, cada cosa que haces, tiene un propósito. Un propósito de la eternidad, para la eternidad. And so the second thing you do is after you've decided, okay, I'm going to get in, I'm making a decision, I'm going in, now you have to look at yourself and get yourself ready. One of the things you do, if you look at every athlete that's in any race, they are free of most weight. They have maybe the smallest and skimpiest little shorts that are super light. Their shoes are just ounces, right? If you're a swimmer, they even shave the hair on their body so they can gain 1/1000th of a second, because that might be the difference between winning and coming in second. They do what they need to do. But they free themselves of weight. Reminds me of a scripture in Hebrews that says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he was talking about people that had gone before us. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I've never seen anyone running a 100-yard or 100-meter dash with a backpack or holding a weight. Those are the things that we don't need to hold on to. Whatever holds you back, set it aside. It's not worth the race. Tenemos que liberarnos del peso. Porque si estamos en una carrera, tenemos que liberarnos del peso, porque nunca he visto a alguien que está corriendo que tiene peso, que carga algo, sino trata de tener lo mínimo para poder ganar. En Hebreos 12 dice, dejemos a un lado los lo que nos estorba, en especial el pecado de que nos molesta, y corramos con paciencia la carrera que tenemos por delante. Así debemos correr, ¿verdad? Sin peso. And so the other thing that comes to mind is we need to follow the pace setter. I don't know if you've ever seen the long distance races, but you'll have a pace setter, someone that runs ahead. And maybe they're not going to win the race, but they're going to set a good pace for the rest of the runners. But in this case, we have a pace setter that has already run the race and has shown us how to. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, he said, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. We are following the one that has set the pace for us. We are following the one that came from heaven, came to earth, lived on this planet, showed us how to live, and he returned back home. And all that, he says, follow me. Just follow me. Tenemos que seguir el marcapasos, que es Jesucristo. Dijo él, después les dijo a todos, si alguno quiere ser discípulo mío, olvídese de sí mismo, cargue con su cruz cada día y sígame, porque el que quiera salvar su vida lo perderá, pero el que pierda la vida por mi causa mía, la salvará. Él es el que toma el paso. Seguimos a él, ¿verdad? And then the last thing, keep your eyes on the finish line. So what you've done is you've made a decision to get into the race. You've lightened your load so that you can run the race. You are following the pace setter. In the middle of all that, you keep your eyes on the finish line. Jesus had a finish line. He knew why he was here. He said, For the Son of Man came to this earth for one reason. To save those who are lost. That was it. That's all he did. He taught us a lot of things. He did a lot of great things. Healed a lot of people. Cast out demons. Did all of that. But the bottom line is he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Nosotros tenemos que mantener nuestros ojos en la línea de meta. Jesucristo tuvo una línea de meta. Él dijo en Lucas 19, dice, pues el Hijo del Hombre vino a buscar y salvar a los que están perdidos. Esa era su meta. Esa era donde tenía sus ojos. A buscar y salvar a todos nosotros que estamos perdidos. There is a reward for leaving the stands and getting into the game. Hay una recompensa para ejercitar su espiritualidad. De bajarse de los lados y bajarte. There's a crown. In 2 Timothy, Paul, at the end of his life, he is saying, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You see, Paul was recognizing that he was coming to the end of his time, his life. But he was saying, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He persisted. That's how you win. It's not necessarily that you come in first place, but that you go, that you get into the race in the first place. I was reading a story about a guy from Africa. It was a long distance run, and he came in last place. He was way at the back. The winners had already, everyone was excited, celebrating. He was still running. And he finishes, finally, the race, and the reporters went up to him. They said, why didn't you stop? The race was already over. And he said, my country did not send me here to start the race, but they sent me here to finish the race. And that's all he's done for us. He's called us to not only to start, to get into the race, but to finish it. The second thing that, second reward, is that there's an inheritance. But before I share on that, I wanted to share in Spanish because I forgot this part. En segundo de Timoteo, dice que hay una corona que nos espere. Ha peleado la buena batalla, dijo Pablo. Ha terminado la carrera y he permanecido fiel. Ahora me espera el premio, la corona de justicia, que el Señor, el juez justo, me dará el día de su regreso. Y el premio no es solo para mí, sino para todos los que esperan con anhelo su venida. Esa es la corona que nos espera, si seguimos fiel en él. And the second thing is that there is inheritance, as I said earlier. Paul said in Colossians 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You will receive an inheritance. You get a crown and you get an inheritance. Hay una herencia que nos espera. En Colosenses dice, trabajan de buena gana en todo lo que hagan, como si fuera para el Señor y no para la gente. Recuerden que el Señor los recompensará con una herencia, y que el amo a quien sirven en es Cristo. So we see that as I was looking at the screen last night and looking at multiples of people in the stands, excited and celebrating, that for me was like a picture of what could be. It is my prayer that in the midst of all this that's been going on for the last year and a half or so, that during this time that you have recognized that you're not just to come and to see people doing their thing, their call, their ministry, but that each one of you has a reason and a purpose in the kingdom of God. He has something for you. And our role is just to equip you for that. It's your ministry. It's your opportunity. It's your purpose. Hay una herencia que esperamos, ¿verdad?, de Dios. Pero lo más importante es de bajarnos de los lados en el estadio y entrar en el juego. Porque esa es nuestra meta que Dios tiene para nosotros. Él nos ha llamado para hacer un cambio, hacer algo en la vida de la gente, de los otros. Mi deseo es que algún día el estadio esté lleno, pero no porque están a los lados, sino todos están en el field, jugando en el juego. My prayer is that we are no longer in the stadium, on the stands, but that we're on the field, all playing the game. Amen? God bless you guys. And hear what God has for you. See where he's going to put you in. And let us know, because we want to be a part of helping you. Amen? Thank you.
That was so good. And as we get ready to close out here in worship, I just wanted to just stand on a couple of things I heard this morning. Both Ron and Enrique, just, I think, as we apply here, as we walk out these gates here this morning, you know, that spiritual exercise has the most value for us. Make sure we are investing each and every day into the deepening of our relationship with God, right? And you've been given a lot of tools to consider how that looks for you this week. And so, and then, like Enrique, thanks for just saying it. Get in the game. I think it's an intentionality here that's going to play itself out. Both in, like, we're diving into a series here, if you can tell, these last couple of weeks, and these weeks ahead, we're really, we care about you individually, and that's good. You got to be growing, but growing together and helping each other out and getting in that game and running alongside each other and lifting each other up and encouraging and spurring each other on in love, right? And there's just so, So I just thank you for saying those words, like, you know, get in the game. And so for us, I think that's something to be in prayer here as we close out this morning is, where am I at in my commitment and that journey of my wholeness, my wellness, and my my building up of myself in the body of Christ? My part, am I doing my part? Am I actively engaged in what God is asking me to partner with him in? And I just pray you say yes to that call, and yes to each other as we have opportunity to come alongside each other in that way. And so with that, let's stand as we close out and celebrate in song. And I see the kids back there ready to jump in with us too, so that's awesome. There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, cause there ain't nothing to steal my joy. Got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing, cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. When the valleys that I've wandered turn to mountains that I can't climb. Oh, you are with me, you never leave me. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing, cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got an old church choir singing in my soul. Got a sweet salvation, and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing, cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. Nothing gonna steal my joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. All God's people said, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and rest of your weekend. Reminder, there is the Operation Christmas Child little table over here to check in with Janie on your way out if you want to grab some boxes and start collecting those items. That's about a month away when we collect all those. So God bless you guys. Have a great day.